नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
One who is not envious but is a kind friend to all living entities, who does not think himself a proprietor and is free from false ego, who is equal in both happiness and distress, who is tolerant, always satisfied, self-controlled and engaged in devotional service with determination, his mind and intelligence fixed on me, such a devotee of mine is very dear to me. So here Krishna is further saying, who is equal in both happiness and distress, and who is tolerant and always satisfied. So where does this happiness and distress arise from? What is the source of this happiness and distress? Has somebody got an answer to this question? Okay, it's mind. Your answer? Our attitude? It arises from our attitude, is it? Anybody has any other answer?
Desire.
Very good. Very good, yeah.
So the difference between your expectations and reality
was? The difference between our expectations and reality. This is becoming more and more precise now.
Attachment,
very good. Yes. Perception.
Fever.
I think everything begins with the fever. So, many good answers. Where do this sukha and dukkha arise? In Prabhupada's books, you will find this commonly. The happiness and distress arises from the time we identify with the body. Of course, all of you, what you said is also true. It's not true. But it's also true. But Prabhupada will often write that it begins with identifying with the body, happiness and distress. The moment we identify with the body, try to think of this for a while. What happens when you identify with the body? Yeah? When the eyeness comes, then what happens? Then all the other things follow subsequently. So, when I think I am this body, then I also think the things and the people connected to this body are mine. And there is fear of protecting them. There is also a desire for, there is attachment, as one rightly said. So, as I rightly said, mind is the storehouse of varieties of desires. Sankalpa prabhavan kamans tattva sarvan asheshatah. Krishna uses that. Who said the point? Nice point. Mind is the source of all desires. The mind is the storehouse of all the desires. So, varieties of desires are produced from the mind. Mind is constantly giving suggestions to the intelligence, who is the driver. Of course, intelligence is the driver of our system. But the mind keeps distracting the intelligence always. And when we identify with the body, the whole situation becomes troublesome. The mind keeps giving varieties of suggestions. As we proceed talking about this, we will understand what a great role the mind plays in our sukha and dukkha. Can you please see that? Everyone in this world is subjected to different amounts of sukha and dukkha. One of them said, it's perception. It's our perception that makes us feel something to be happiness or something to be distress. You know, there is a saying, no one can insult you without your consent. It is said. If somebody insults you, it depends on how you take it, isn't it? That you will feel the disturbance in the mind. That means, all of us undergo varieties of situations in our lives. And every one of us is disturbed to different extents. There's a disturbance caused in the mind, agitation caused in the mind, at different times. Both in the case of happiness and sorrow. Whether it is happiness or sorrow, we are subjected to agitation. Is this an important subject for everyone in this world to know how to be balanced in happiness and sorrow? Or what do you think? It's not so important. It's only for devotees it's important. It's important for everyone. Why is it important for everyone? If you go and tell someone, I will tell you how to be equipoised in happiness and sorrow, they may say, why is this Bhagavad Gita subject? How is it going to help me? How do you think practically this will be helpful for the people of the world? Unfulfilled desires leads to frustration. Okay. Somebody else also said this.
Normally we get very envious of somebody
who is selfish, and we leads to crying. Okay, that leads to envy and then crying subsequently. Okay. What do we do generally when we are put in a happy situation? What do we do? One thing is we become proud. What has happened, sir? We want to show off ourselves. Then? We become infatuated. That's a much better word. We become infatuated. You see? We feel we are eligible for that, so that leads to pride. I would like to focus more on this. Infatuated. What happens when you become infatuated? When you become happy, you become infatuated. You want always more and more, she says. That means, people in this world consider success means repeatedly having pleasurable experiences. Or, able to repeat the pleasurable experience over and over again without fail. That is considered success in the material world. That means once you get a pleasurable experience in life, and that is sukha, and then you want to repeat it again and again, without fail. And then you fail, we consider it a failure. Isn't it? So one becomes infatuated. Infatuation not only leads to pride, as somebody said, it leads to a need, feeling of wanting more and more. And it drives a person to practical insanity. Like you see, Nalakur Manigri were infatuated because they were belonging to the house of Kuvera. They were sons of Kuvera. Whenever I study Nalakur Manigri, I think of the modern boys who come from rich family. Taking their father's car, they go go to the pubs in the night. So Nalakur Manigri were like that. They are very proud. Actually, the money didn't belong to them, it belonged to their father. But they are very proud. So they were proud that we are wealthy man's sons. They became infatuated and you saw the result. Where in the end? You can see that. So this is the result of material sukha. And what is the problem with dukkha? Other side? What happens with suffering? It leads to frustration. The modern ailment of stress and tension and all these things, it actually is the result of the suffering that modern man perceives. Further, there is many more things to say when you are led to suffering. You curse others, you lose your attitude, and you curse others and you blame others. You may take to bad habits. We may degrade in our consciousness, we may take to bad habits. And then? Handle, that's all. Doesn't seem to be. Suicide, somebody may get into psychotic depression or it ultimately lead to suicide. See, both these things you see where it leads a person. Either of these two. Actually, we all are subjected to this wave of sukha and dukkha at all times in our life. Beginning from childhood up to the death, womb to tomb, you will see our life is simply waves of happiness and suffering, happiness, suffering. Sometimes we get so much suffering in our life, we are practically pushed to the corner. We feel I am finished. And then little sukha is given. And that's the hope. Like that slight ray of hope. In a dark night you see a ray of sun in the morning. And one thing, there is some hope in material life. So this material life, you will find the sukha-dukha, crest and trough. It goes on like that. That's why material life is like eating sweet rice mixed with sand. You have tasted any time sweet rice with sand? Although it is sweet, still the sand really, when you bite the stone, it is so, it's a horrible experience. You feel like spitting it, but it stays, you can't spit it. Still continue chewing it. It's like that. One time, actually I have no realization to speak this, but I can speak it what I heard in lecture. I was in lecture, Ranathamy was telling, sometimes when you live in a home, sometimes husband, wife, mother, father, mother-in-law, father-in-law, brother-in-law, son, all those different people are living together. So he was telling, sometimes the situation becomes so intolerable with other people. You just want to give up. But he said, still you cannot give up. Still you tolerate. And there are so many weepings, and also there are joys. There are joys and sorrows. In family you can find it's a mixture. Sometimes there is a quarrel. When quarrel comes, there is sniffing and biting one another. And then when there is another occasion, there is a lot of joy, jumping. Something like a Hindi movie. Sometimes you see, tang, takatang, takatang, they will be dancing up and down. Big smiles on the face, and men, women, everyone will be dancing with so many instruments and everything. Very, very joyful. Immediately next scene, such crying and moaning, you have to plug your ears. They will make such a big cry. You seen? Not recently, but long ago. So this sukha-dukha is very common in the material world. It is not a new thing. In Bhagavad Gita, you will find there is a lot of talk about sukha and dukha. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, just like the, Shita and Ushna, sometimes, nowadays it's very hot. You can never imagine Pune can be so hot. Isn't it? So this is Ati Daivika Klesh. Afternoon you are walking under the hot sun, you feel you get a sunstroke. It is terribly hot. Ati Daivika Klesh. Too much heat. And there is too much cold. In December, January, there is too much cold. So, Shita Ushna. So whenever there are situations, people talk a lot about it. In the offices, at homes. Even when people come, immediately what is the first thing they talk about? Climate only, isn't it? Oh, it is too hot. Oh, it is too cold. Oh, it's raining. Whatever you say is going to go on. Whether you say it or not. And these things come and go. So, Shita, Ushna, Maan, Apaman. Krishna saying about honor and dishonor. Sometimes people honor you. Sometimes people dishonor you. In one place you go, you are given a handshake, you are given a rose in the hand, you are told to cut a ribbon, and everyone stands up and salutes you. In one hand, you get honor, respect in one position. In another position, you find that you are treated like a dog. You find in this world. All of us will actually come across a situation. Every one of us, you will find, sometime or the other in our life. So, honor and dishonor. So generally what happens, when you are given honor, how do you feel? We generally tend to jump up and down, you feel very happy. You feel you are a hero or a heroine, when you are given honor. You walk with a raised nose. And wherever you are given dishonor, how do you feel? It is so pinching to heart, that it remains like a very lasting impression. Oh, I was treated so badly there. Somebody said this to me. Or somebody did this to me. So it just leaves a very deep impression. Impression of dishonor. It's very, very painful. So in honor and dishonor we feel joy and pain. You can see that. In Shita and Ushna also. Some people say, oh, cold is better than heat. Many people say. But when cold comes, what they say? They said opposite. I feel summer is better than winter. But then this keep coming. Shita, Ushna, Maan, Apaman. in this way, sukha and dukha also. Two sides of the same coin. They keep coming, repeating in this verse. So Krishna speaks a lot about it in Bhagavad Gita, and he says that we should learn to attain a platform of equanimity, samatvata. We have to see them equally, not be happy about one thing and be sorrowful about another. So this is a very tough proposition, how one can be equal. In the second chapter there is a discussion about sthita prajna, where Arjuna is asking, after hearing about all the knowledge of the soul and everything, Arjuna is asking many brilliant questions in the second chapter. He is asking, my dear Krishna, please tell me, who is the self-realized person? See, all of us here, we all want to become self-realized. Why we want to realize the soul, if we actually want to put a full stop to this kind of material upheavals? This is exactly like this kick of a football. You see, the football is just kicked with one leg, it goes to another place, that is kicked again, it goes to another place, it flies sometimes or sometimes rolls on the ground. So we also can find that we are tossed in righteous situations. It requires an eye to see that, that we are constantly subject to suffering and happiness, alternatively, in this world. Actually, very few people think seriously that they have to get out of this situation of suffering and happiness. So, in Bhagavatam, that famous verse, no? Padam padam yati padam yatesham. It says the devotees of the Lord never like to be in the material world, which is a place of danger at every step. One is not allowed to live peacefully. There is always a constant threat. It is very surprising how the modern man has made his life so complex and complicated. He is constantly subjected to suffering after suffering by his own arrangement that he has made, especially in the cities. You can see that. The kind of lifestyle that a modern man lives in the cities. And it is a place of danger at every step, suffering at every step. But yet one does not desire to get out of this world. So here Arjuna is asking this question. How does a self-realized person behave in such situations of sukha and dukkha? So this question is very important for all of us, because it's not that a devotee will not face sukha and dukkha in his or her life. Devotee can also face sukha and dukkha. Why does a devotee face sukha and dukkha? Who can say? Why does a devotee face? A devotee is supposed to be Krishna conscious and beyond this material world. We are not in the material world. Our activities are beyond the material world. So why does a devotee feel sukha and dukkha? Different levels? She is saying depending on the spiritual understanding. Yeah. Past karma. So isn't it past karma, is it? Suffering of others. I'm talking punishment only again. Actually, once we wrote down, there were about 15 points we can think of. There are many, many different reasons. Some of them said the right point. Actually, Prabhupada clearly writes in Krishna book, whoever you are, you have a devotee or advanced devotee, whoever we are, if you are a devotee, then Prabhupada says, the sufferings of a devotee are creations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Prabhupada writes that. It is not going to anything else. Once you surrender to Krishna, Krishna actually takes away all the past, bad karma, good karma, everything. Punya, pap, everything Krishna takes into his account. Antoine Sarva Papyadyo Mokshisham, he says that. So when you surrender to Krishna, so surrender is a long process, and it begins now, and then it will be complete, you know, when you become a pure devotee. But then we go into Krishna's circle. But a devotee also faces happiness and suffering in their lives, if possible. Prabhupada says that he gives the example of this Pandavas. How the Pandavas suffered in their childhood, you know, Bhima was administered poison, and they were put in a house of lack, and, you know, fire was set. Later they had to wander in the forest. They were attacked by yakshas. Somehow Bhima saved and the Pandavas. And Kunti underwent so much trials and tribulations in the forest. And the wife was insulted, Draupadi. You can see that. When they returned back after all these trials, still they were not given the kingdom back. They had to really fight for it to get it back. So they underwent a lot of difficulties, but then Prabhupada says, explains about it. He says, the Lord has an ultimate plan behind everything. So Lord knew that the Pandavas are very special devotees. And by putting them in different situations, the Lord wanted to show the world that my pure devotees, at any cost, will never leave my shelter. In fact, Narada Muni went to Krishna once and asked Krishna, Krishna, what kind of magnetic potency do you have? Magnetic power you have? That these Pandavas, your devotees, despite being put in so much difficulty, they are never giving you up. They are still attached to your feet. Seems that you have some special magic to keep them intact in your feet. So Narada was asking Krishna once like that. So the great devotees like Pandavas or Prahalad, they were subjected to some difficulties to show to the world that the Lord's pure devotees will never give up the unflinching devotion service. That's the meaning of unflinching. Unflinching means they will never shake in their devotion service, no matter how much difficulties come. So by seeing such great exalted devotees, we can take a lesson in our lives. Even every one of us here, we may be subjected to some happiness and difficulties in our spiritual life. Generally, we can talk of difficulties more because in the material world there are many difficulties. What are the common most difficulties that an average devotee may face? See, we may not face difficulties like Prahlad, thrown from the top of a cliff or put under the elephant. Anybody does that to you? So that is in theory. You may not suffer like that. What are the general difficulties devotees face? Krishna consciousness is not appreciated by 99% of the people of the world. So when you want to sincerely practice, wherever you go in the outside world, you get discouragement. Relatives discourage you. Parents may discourage you. Colleagues may ridicule you. And people may treat you like an outcast. They may corner you. So devotee should never give up. Even in such a situation, a devotee needs the determination. So we should always think of Prahlad and Pandavas. Our life is not so bad like them. Isn't it? What are the difficulties devotees face? I can think of 4 or 5 strong. What obstacles like? No, more precisely?
Not able to attend yatras because of office.
These are too spiritual. Something more mundane. So that is the same category. People think. People misunderstand you. People misunderstand you, thinking that you are running away from the responsibilities of the world.
Balancing of material and spiritual life.
This is another very good thing, Prabhupada is saying. So we always face difficulty because of the inability to balance between our material duties and spiritual duties. When you do a little bit more spiritual duties, devotees are very happy. But then your family and friends, they will, you will get a lot of scolding. That's all. So okay, now you want to make them happy. Then you stay at home more, you try to encourage them, please them, and devotees phone you up. Prabhuji, Mataji, what are you doing? Are you in Maya? So you don't know how to balance. Sometimes you get torn between the two. So we face difficulty. Especially the difficulty comes when you are misunderstood by somebody. Somebody thinks you are in Maya, you are actually not in Maya. You are in good consciousness. And you have to find some reason to explain to them how you are not in Maya. And that person will nod his head even before you explain to that person. As if they know that you are surely in Maya only. So we feel very great pain. These things actually prick our hearts. Financial pressure, isn't it? Sometimes financial pressure, it won't let you chant peacefully. You have to give some big debt. Similarly, fear of future, fear of career, fear of the family responsibilities, like the son is studying in a school, he's not getting good ranks, and daughter is not married. Sometimes people, they can cling on to the mind, although this looks very trivial, You know, it's a spiritual plane, it looks very trivial, but then, you know, when you practically see, you have difficulty with these things. You will see that. It seems very troubled one. So we should remember that these difficulties what we face are actually insignificant compared to what Prahlada or Pandava face. So devotees, very advanced devotees, they get difficulties in their lives. Sukha, dukkha. Dukkha especially can come. And Lord wants to glorify them. Pandavas are glorified. Will we ever talk of Prahlada in the pages of Bhagavatam if those things didn't happen to Prahlada? Imagine that everything went on smoothly for Prahlada. Will anybody talk about it? So Prahlada was born and then he practiced devotional service. And then his father told him, okay, you are the only one who wants to be Krishna's devotee, no problem, continue. I don't mind. Anyway, 99.9% of the population agrees that I am God. So Prahlada in this way continued and went back to God. Do you think it will come in Bhagavatam? You won't find it. Every pastime in Bhagavatam has something special to it. I would like to know. Now I will ask one question. Ranchi Dev, what is so special about Ranchi Dev? What is? One word, you have to say it in one word. What is the speciality of Ranchi Dev's pastime? Tolerance, he says. Charity, right? Equal vision, is it? Okay. I feel there are many lessons, but I feel two main things I feel, charity and sacrifice. I'm not caring for one. Actually, a more pronounced form of exhibition of tolerance is actually sacrifice for others. Yeah. Isn't it? And also giving charity. So we find Ranchi Dev. What is special about Ambarish Maharaj? One word, Dependence, yeah. I think it seems many of them are saying total dependence on God. This is a big word. Faith, yeah. Faith in the Lord, yeah. Yeah. So fearlessness is a result of faith in the Lord. Mari Krishna, Rakeke, Rakeke Krishna, Mari. Complete faith in Krishna. Such a faith is very rarely to be seen. Isn't it? He's saying proper etiquette, he's saying. Yeah, there are many secondary things we can talk about. Primarily, every pastime, when you see like that. Bhishma Pitama? Somebody is saying determination. Loyalty to whom?
Krishna.
That's what I was looking for. Yeah. So, how do you put it in simple words? Determination for what? Prahlada is generally spoken for determination of unceasing devotion. No. That may be one of the qualities. No, more than that, what he said, complete surrender, you can say. Actually, surrender, you can say. Actually, Bhishma Pitama's whole role is to please Krishna.
In a negative way.
Not in a negative way.
To please his father, not to Krishna.
She is saying, Bhishma Pitama took the vow of celibacy to please his father. That is from a karmakanda viewpoint. Because actually, we don't see a devotee's movements to be on a material platform at any level. For example, you will find even in life of Bhaktivinoda Thakur or Prabhupada, some of the pastimes you hear, they may apparently appear to be mundane. Actually, there is nothing mundane about a devotee. Although, externally, he took a vow of celibacy to please his father. But heart of heart, he knew that ultimately, this is Krishna's plan for me, that I have to remain a celibate lifelong and I have to fight in the Kurukshetra war where Lord Krishna will come face to face. And I will be killed by Arjuna when Arjuna uses Shikhandi as a shield. So, ideally speaking, from a devotional platform, he was aware of all these things.
External reason was that?
External reason is for his father's sake, he took the celibate vow.
Negative means in others think that Krishna fought against Krishna.
Yeah, others, the world may think anything, but I want to please Krishna.
That
means giving up one's own desire. You know, giving up one's own desire for the sake of fulfilling Krishna's desire. Yeah. So we can take every pastime from Bhagavatam like this. How? Otherwise, they won't be in the pages of Bhagavatam. Like, you know, Bali Maharaj, for example. How Atmanivedanam, complete surrender. So every character in Bhagavatam is like that. How they acted in the situation of dukkha. You know? Krishna always, yeah. So, a devotee, somebody said also that when dukkha comes in our life, it comes for various reasons. We are not going to get into this topic, it's a very big topic, but we are just touching the topic. A devotee may get suffering or happiness depending on what is best for the devotee at that particular time. Krishna will arrange happiness for you or suffering for you, whatever is good for your Krishna consciousness at that particular time. For Sudama, what did the Lord arrange? A big bungalow with all facilities and everything. Isn't it? Later. Even without his asking. Because that was what was good for him. Isn't it? On the other hand, you find the Lord sometimes arranging some suffering in the life of devotee in order to purify the devotee. Like you were saying earlier, when Sukha comes, you become infatuated. So when the Lord sees that the devotee is infatuated, then he will give Dukkha in his life. So that when seeing the dukkha, the devotee will come to the senses. Sometimes we get success after success after success. And then we start, you know, it's called a sarangarangini, we call it. Sarangarangini means, you know, you start floating in the wave of success. Many, many successes. Then you get a big slap. One slap you get. Then you come to your senses. Otherwise you become too intoxicated. Sometimes you've seen people, literally must have seen with your eyes in your life. They got success after success, medal after medal after medal, going higher and higher. So when they get a lot of success, one becomes too infatuated. Then, even it can happen in a devotee's life, that when a devotee is given too much facility and enjoyment, a devotee may tend to forget Krishna. And Krishna will bring the devotee back to senses. Practical example is of Indra. How Indra was the chief of all the demigods, you know. And year after year he was getting puja. And he was also enjoying, and he was thinking very high of himself. So proud he was that he forgot Krishna. He forgot that he also has got a master above him. He thought he is the master of all masters. He thought like that. And then the Lord knows everyone. He is in the heart of everyone, as Antaryami. So he detected the pride of Indra. And he wanted to teach him a good lesson. And you can see how so silently he taught him a good lesson. And Indra was brought to his hands and knees. Ultimately, he had to fall at Krishna's feet and surrender. So, Lord, you said to go over the hill and perform pastime to fulfill so many wonderful things.
Brahma Vimohan Leela.
He's asking, what is the behind Brahma Vimohan Leela? Brahma Leela actually was done by the Lord to show Namevidu Suragana Prabhavam Namaharishayaha Ahamadrihi Devana Maharishinam Sarishayaha. Even the greatest of the hosts of demigods cannot understand me. What is become ordinary man understanding me? God wants to show to the world. Yeah. So, in this way, the sukha and dukkha that comes in our life is the orchestration of Krishna. We should see it as what? We should learn to see it as mercy of Krishna. You know, when Yudhishthira was in the forest, once he was lying on a chatai, no, simple chatai, ordinary chatai. And he was relaxing like this, you know. And there were Vedic Brahmanas chanting the Vedic mantras, and Yudhishthira was in smile, you know, with semi-closed eyes. He was smiling and hearing those mantras. And Brahmanas, actually wherever he traveled in the forest, you know, Brahmanas would travel with him, you know. And they were all surrounding him. And Draupadi was also sitting. And you know, Draupadi became so angry. She told Yudhishthira that, my dear king, you are supposed to be sitting on a elevated golden throne, but now you are living in the forest. Just look at you. You are lying on a chatai and your face is grasping the mud of the ground. You are supposed to be sitting on the throne. Your head is supposed to be bedecked with crown, with jewels and everything. And now you don't have any crown on your head. Now you have given up your post, you have given up your position, given up all the wealth that you had, and you are in the forest. How are you not ashamed of your position? How can you tolerate this wretched Duryodhana anymore? Just look at your brothers like Bhima and Arjuna. They are like lions ready to kill Duryodhana. If only because of your docile nature like this, timid nature, they are also keeping quiet because of your orders. And they are actually burning in their heart. How can you not have a desire to be a king of the world when you deserve that position? So Draupadi went on speaking like this, and Yudhishthira was smiling and hearing. Actually, Yudhishthira was like a father of all of them. Every one of them would obey. So after that long talk, you know, Yudhishthira begins to think. He tells her, the pacifists are saying that, oh Draupadi, actually, because of your anger, you are becoming blind, blinded by passion. And he says that, no, there is call for everything, there is time for everything. There is a time when somebody will be a king, there is a time when somebody will be a beggar, and there is time for everything. At the moment, this is our destiny. This is what, on all the cases and saints, everyone knows. Lord Krishna knows that this should be our position. When Krishna knows that we should be put in this position, he comes and goes and keeps meeting us every now and then. He knows where we are. So why should we lament? Just see these brahmanas, how they are constantly reciting narrations from Puranas. They are constantly absorbed in thinking of the Lord. We are so fortunate to be in the forest now, that we have left the kingdom on one hand, although it may be apparently a loss, but power will come back, I think. You can hear me, last one? Maybe you can do kids. That we should be very patient. There is time for everything, and the right time will come when we will be again ruling the kingdom. And he said, how does it matter whether we are ruling the kingdom or we are in the forest? Whatever situation we are put in, it is actually Lord's arrangement. So here we can find the maturity of Yudhishthira, how he is convinced that in whatever situation we are put in, that situation is the mercy of the Lord. Often we find in the material world, even after becoming devotees, sometimes people are not very satisfied with the situation in which they are put in. People always look at others and compare with others, and they want to go higher and higher in material life. Actually, in material life there is no end point to go up. Even the richest person in the whole world is not satisfied. So if we always want to make our material life better, then we only have to suffer. Because the material world is so created that happiness and distress will keep coming one after another. There will never be a situation when you won't have any suffering in life. You will see that. Often people tend to think, you know, in any family there is often a discussion between the family members. How we can put an end to all our problems, correct? Isn't it? They think, you know, if only my son gets a good job, you know, then everything will be all right. If only my daughter also gets a job, you know, both the money combined together, we can run the family peacefully. If only we have our own house, you know, our own house, we won't have any problem. But then when you have own house, there is so much maintenance. So, if you see, it appears that the solution to all the problems is just 1 inch away from you, as if you are going to capture it. And then when you are about to capture it, what do you find? It is again 1 more inch away. It's 1 more feet away. And try to capture it, it's 1 more feet away. Just like the, we say the example of the donkey and the carrot. Our life is like that. How many of you have this experience in your life? Many hands are up, is it?
Yeah.
So, can anyone say, by our material endeavor, we can put a full stop to all our problems?
No.
Yeah, that's an impossibility. And that's what the whole world is trying. So we should learn to accept any situation that the Lord puts us in as the most favorable situation for Krishna consciousness. Then we are devotees, like Yudhishthira. Otherwise, we are not a proper devotee. A devotee should always see happiness or suffering, it is immaterial. I give you Krishna conscious. That is the most important thing. Otherwise, unnecessarily, like for example, Draupadi was so much lamenting. Was there any use of her lamentation? There is simply heart burning and worry. The worry only leads to more worries, multiplied worries. You will find that majority of the people suffer from mental worries. Mental worries arise due to misunderstanding, due to too much of expectation from others, too much expectation to possess things. All these things lead to worry. So this way, devotee should learn to accept all the situations as the mercy of the Lord, whether it is happiness or distress.
Rupa's said that even material opulence in the life of a devotee is Lord's mercy. It is not because of his karmic reaction.
Yeah, Prabhupada said even the material opulence that a devotee possesses is not coming according to your karma, but it is actually a Lord's mercy, he says. I was just about to come to that point. That how a devotee sees happiness and distress. Prabhupada writes, whenever distress comes in the life of a devotee feels, this distress is coming in my life because of my own bad karma. I have done bad karma, so I am suffering now. Can I give a simple example how we feel suffering in our life? What sufferings we undergo generally? What are the practical sufferings we undergo? Say we get some disease. Immediately what comes to our mind? What is the first thing that comes to our mind? Not the later thing. What is the first thing that comes to our mind?
Why me?
That's a question. Two words. Why me? I am a devotee of the Lord. See, I am doing devotion service to Krishna and Krishna is sending me the disease. This is too much. There are so many materialistic people who are so happy out there. And they are not getting this problem like me. Isn't it? We tend to think like that. Actually, a materialist may seem to be happy for some time. Just like Lord Narsingadev when he was fighting with Hiranyakashipu. Sometimes like a snake would leave a mouse, or Garuda would leave a venomous serpent for some time before killing. In the same way, Lord Narsingadev also was leaving Hiranyakashipu. And Hiranyakashipu started thinking, oh, I am more powerful than Narsingadev. He took his sword and shield and everything and he got ready. He thought that, okay, very soon I will finish him off. He was thinking. The fool he was. He was like a firefly fighting with sun. So, in the same manner, sometimes the materialistic people are given some material benedictions and then they are running here and there glowing like a glowworm for some time. They become very proud. And seeing that the devotee should not be discouraged, devotee should not think, how this material is still flourishing while I am suffering with some disease. Like that. So devotee, this is a wrong attitude of thinking. So devotee should think, even if some suffering comes in my life, it's actually owing to my own karma. This is the first thing we should think. If my tongue is bitten by my own teeth, whom can I blame? It's a beautiful example that comes in one of the purports of Prabhupada. So I cannot go and beat anybody. If I want to beat anybody, I have to give myself a slap. I teach, why did you bite the tongue? Atma kratam vipakam. Atma kratam means, I have only done bad karma, into which I am suffering now. Actually, we can also see this many times in this life. Like, yesterday night if you ate some heavy food at 12 o'clock, next day morning you continuously keep getting burps. Or sometimes you get a stomachache, isn't it? So that time what do you realize? Do you blame anyone? Yeah. You have to blame your uncontrolled stomach. Or uncontrolled tongue or whatever. You realize that I can't shout at anybody, I have shouted myself. In the same manner, we get suffering in this life. So the first step we should see. Then, the higher step is to see that, of course, it's owing to my own karma I am suffering, but Lord is very merciful. Now for His devotee, He gives only a token punishment. He doesn't give the full, complete result of one's bad karma. Just like when a mother is punishing a child and the police is beating a thief, is it the same?
No.
It's such a big difference. When a mother is beating a child, she knows and she is doing it for the benefit of the child. But police sometimes is really cruel. You can see that. Similarly, those people who are beaten by material nature, they suffer terribly. But a devotee's suffering is orchestrated by whom? By the Lord directly. The Lord is like that mother. So we have to know that Lord actually reduces the punishment that He wants to give to the devotee. So Lord minimizes the effect of the punishment, token punishment. We can easily see that in our lives. So huge volumes of karmic results are minimized into a small capsule. And Krishna gives His devotee only a small punishment. So we should see like that direction. Then we also should always see it as mercy of Krishna. So if you see it as mercy of Krishna, you will always have a positive outlook. Can somebody give an example of one who saw it as mercy of Krishna suffering? Who has an example?
Suffering as
Krishna. Kunjimarani, you tell me which place, yeah? In Jhansi, yeah. You know, Prabhupada, when everything was unfavorable for Prabhupada, no? His business was falling apart, although he was trying to set it right, he wanted to give a lot of donation to Krishna service. He was a pharmaceutical businessman, and Gaudiya Math sannyasis would go to his shop, and Prabhupada would give a lot of donations. And every time they would go, Prabhupada would give a lot of donations. And he was telling them, I like this movement very much. And then he got initiated also. After initiation, Prabhupada wanted to give lots and lots of money. He wanted to become one of the best businessmen and earn lots of money and give it to Gaudiya Math. But then many of the sannyasis went to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati and said that this person, we once invited him to the mat and told him to give a lecture. And he gave such a profound lecture. And all of us were very thrilled. And we are very confident that if you make him the president of our center, then our teaching will flourish. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati told them, no. When the right time comes, he will do everything. Just leave him. So Prabhupada was in his shop handling the business. But at one point of time, the business fell apart, everything fell apart. And there was such a big loss in his business. But Prabhupada found that he was getting more and more encouragement in Krishna consciousness. Like, you know, he was printing Bhakti Godhead magazine, distributing it. And there were many, many people interested in taking to it. So that business was going very nice. Whereas the other middle business, it wasn't going so well. And at one point of time, his guru came in his dream and told him, take sannyas. He heard the voice, he became very frightened. He thought that, no, what is this? How can such a fallen person like me take sannyas? I don't have any realization. He always considered himself very fallen. He considered the other sannyasis to be very, very great. And then Prabhupada thought to himself, sannyas order is not a joke. Sannyas means one should have complete faith in the Lord, in the protection of the Lord. Wherever one goes, one should have a firm faith that Lord is always with me, protecting me. So Prabhupada thought sannyas is a very, very high order. But his guru constantly ordered him in his mind. So at last he took sannyas. So later he told his disciples that I was trying to do pharmaceutical business and try to get more money and all. But Krishna thought, no, what is this person doing? This fellow is my devotee, he is supposed to preach my glories and is sitting and doing some chemical business. So Krishna did not tolerate that. He immediately gave a slap to my material business and he took them away. And he pulled me to his lotus feet. He took away everything and put me at his feet. So here we clearly see how a pure devotee's vision is. A pure devotee sees everything to be Krishna's orchestration. Everything that happens, good or bad, whatever. Actually one will develop a very firm faith in the Lord and develop a close relation with the Lord if one always sees the situations as Lord's mercy. So we can keep this in mind, what we are discussing today. Next time you get a pain, what should you do? You should think about this. How to see it as Krishna's mercy. Like you are walking in the road, you hit a stone against your leg and your leg starts bleeding. How will you feel? What is the first thing you will think as soon as you get hit? Who will say immediately, based on what we discussed now? That must be the first thing you will... What is that?
Token
punishment. No, that is second. First one? First thing is, what can I say? It's my own karma. First thing we should think. Then?
Thank you, Krishna.
Second? Oh, thanking comes a little later. Second one, Sauji has gone to the last step already. Second? Next, what do you think? You must think that I must have fallen in a bus or a truck and I must have been totally smashed to dust. Somehow Krishna gave me only a token punishment. I got just hit. I didn't even get a fracture. Wonderful. I didn't even get a fracture, you see. So Krishna wants me to come to this temple walking. So he said, so we can consider it as only a token punishment. Then, what is the next step? Third step? Whatever Krishna is doing for my best, So this is Krishna's mercy. So how can I see that Krishna's mercy? You have a wound in the leg now, or it's bleeding now, you have to, you know, put some tincture or anything, clean it and put a bandage and all. How is it mercy? Yeah, that is shock and punishment, second part. The third part. She then can sit and chant. All that I am too much walking. Krishna wants me to sit and chant.
Compulsory.
Why compulsory?
Walk.
I said it has to, you have to say it partially, surely. We can think in many ways. Actually we can think like this. That I am always too proud. That I am very great in everything. Like when we sometimes walk like a big or a great person. So now we feel him, you know. Actually by walking like this, how do you feel? Do you feel nice? Now look around. Isn't it? It doesn't look so good. But then it makes you feel very humble. Is it not true? You feel a little small. When you have a hand, like everything is all, how do you walk? So you can feel that Krishna wants to make me humble. It's Krishna's mercy. Thank you, Krishna, for reminding me that I'm too proud. Yeah, very good. Generally we think that, you know, nothing can happen to my body. I'm very healthy. Some people are proud of their body. Like some people say, I never get diseases. The next day they get a problem. After that, yeah.
So he says that threefold miseries are there, I have to get out of
it. He says there are threefold miseries in this world. I should get out of this. Actually, we should try to have a Shastra Chakshu, see from a Shastric vision. That is Krishna's mercy. And at last, what we can do? We can do what Jayadeva said. We can thank Krishna for reminding us that this material world is Dukkalayam Ashashvatam. Isn't it? Not that this is a very nice body. See, the problem is in the West, people are trying to minimize the sufferings by various external agents, due to which you tend to forget the sufferings of the world, and you pamper the body too much. You know, if it's very hot, you put yourself in the AC room, isn't it? If it's too cold, you put a heat pump in the room, isn't it? And you have shower. Like in Mayapur, in those days, they used to have a shower. So, Namasari would go take bath. The shower would be, you know, and pouring so well, they will go to sleep in the shower. So nice, oh, you know, it will be very, very nice. So now they have removed that this thing. What do you call it? The shower thing they have removed. Now we go in the morning, open it, immediately it removes your tamapana. Because whole night you have been sleeping and you go and stand in the shower. One hit it gives, immediately you are awake and you will be awake. Like that. Otherwise, especially if you have hot water shower, how do you feel? After a hot water shower, you will want to come and go to sleep. In chanting, you will go to sleep. Isn't it? So, we can see like this. Sometimes when sufferings are given to us, we remember, oh, this is Dukkalayam. It's not Sukhalayam. It is Dukkalayam. We remember that. Especially when our senses are pampered, we tend to think, probably it is Sukhalayam. Probably there is happiness in this world. The Lord is reminding us. So, we can see the misery in this way. But we should always remember that these are orchestrated by Krishna directly. Krishna is doing that. Krishna is behind the sufferings and happiness of devotees. So, devotees should always see in this manner about distress. What about happiness? If happiness comes in your life, how will you see it? Say some nice things are happening in your life. Like recently I was in this thing, Mayapur. Who was that one? Karam Khan Master Maharaj was speaking. He said sometimes, you know, everything is going well. You get a very good job, you get a nice own house, you know, you get a car, you get a promotion, you get settled in life. Everything is going well, there's no problem. You become happier and happier and more happier and more happier. So how should you see that? Somebody was telling answer to this, yeah? Did you see it as temporary? Try to share the happiness with others. How will you share it? You'll tell others that I got a new car or what? You'll remember Krishna.
Encouragement is
better. Oh, he says, two good answers are coming out here. One answer is saying that it seems that Krishna wants me to serve him better. Now I have been given a car, I should go to programs regularly. No.
Take devotees.
Take devotees to the program also, I saying. Okay. So you have made that statement Krishna conscious. So what she said is true. Huh? You can share the facility you have got with others also. And he says that, oh, Krishna wants to encourage me. Thank you, Krishna. You can feel like that. Yeah?
Krishna is not
doing anything. Huh? Why? He's not giving you suffering? Oh, no. That is why the sannyasi was telling, when happiness comes, don't curse yourself. Thinking that, why this happiness is coming in my life.
You are not wasting
it. Yeah, you don't have to. So we have to see it like this. I actually don't deserve it. This happiness what Krishna gives me, I don't deserve it. But somehow, Krishna has chosen this fool to be given all these facilities. Although I don't deserve this. One time I remember His Holiness Radhana Swami called 3-4 of us from IIT, you know, Gaurav Prabhu Mayaswara Paramaskunda. And he said, see, just see Krishna's inconceivable play, he said. Just see how, what, Krishna has a high sense of humor, he said. And you ask Maharaj, why Maharaj? And Maharaj said, see, I have been a covered boy in New Vrindavan, milking the cows and taking care of the deities for 10 years or so. And then by some desire of the acharyas, I was pulled out to become a preacher. Now Krishna has brought me to India here. And now, I am preaching to IITians, you are telling. Here are IIT engineers who are technologists and engineers, and I am preaching to them, and they are bowing down to me, they are hearing me. This is the greatest humor of Krishna, you are telling. So when we heard it, we realized, what is this heart? I can say this is the realization of a devotee. He doesn't feel that, you know, see, just look at these people, they are all under me. He doesn't feel that. He considers it to be Krishna's humor, or Krishna's inconceivable play. Similarly, when happiness comes, a devotee should wonder, Krishna, what is this? How are you providing such a fool like me this? Like he was telling, you know, Sudama was telling, Paham Daridra Papiyan. So a devotee considers oneself a Daridra. Fallen soul, impoverished person. So when Krishna gives you happiness, you should always, as he said, you should consider it as some encouragement from Krishna. Or we can feel like this, that Krishna is giving me something which is actually not meant for me. It has to be deflected to Krishna's service only. You take it from Krishna and give it back to Krishna, like that. Actually Krishna does that sometimes. When he finds a very trustworthy person, then he says, okay, take this. Because I know that you are not going to enjoy with this. Okay, take it and give it to my devotees for my service. Krishna gives like that. Just like in your office, sometimes you have seen when you go higher and higher in your promotion post, at one time your boss develops a lot of trust in you. And sometimes he becomes so, he treats you with so much of trust, even you cannot believe yourself. Sometimes he gives you the room, his own room key. Sometimes he gives you the key for lakhs of rupees. Where he has kept in a 5 lakh, 10 lakh rupees. He will sometimes give you the key. Sometimes he gives the whole company key to you and say that please take care. Or he can do the work till 12 o'clock and he may go back. And you may think, what if I take all the money and run away? But still he has so much trust in me. But if you become a trustworthy employee, then you will see that he entrusts a lot of responsibilities to you. You will see that more and more. So when Krishna gives something, you should immediately think, actually it is not mine. Krishna is giving, I should use it in Krishna's service. Krishna is encouraging me.
A company gives mobiles and laptops because they want them from us to serve the company.
Yeah. He is saying company gives mobile and laptop and all so that you can serve the company better. Isn't it?
Krishna gives us.
Yeah. So Krishna may also give you more and more facilities.
Yes.
So that we can serve him better.
Yes.
Yeah. So you want to say that company people are looting you or they are exploiting you? Possibly you are saying.
Krishna is giving us so that we should serve him.
So Krishna is similarly giving us so that we may serve him better. You can see like that. When our happiness comes in our life. So when happiness and distress comes, then he is. So with this we will conclude the Sita Prajna question. See, Arjuna is asking this question here. How does he speak? Sita Prajnaka Kabasha is asking. You know what is the meaning of this? How does he speak? Meaning is, how are the mentality and words of a devotee affected when other people show him affection or equanimity or anger? Like if somebody is showing a devotee affection, if somebody shows affection, how do you behave with them? Then you also feel affection for them. Like if you carefully think in your mind, you love those people who love you, or you love those people who always pat on your back, you will see that. If somebody is neutral, equanimity, somebody is neutral, then you are also neutral. Or if somebody shows anger towards you, or somebody criticizes you, then how do you feel? Then you also want to give tit for tat. That's a little anger. That's why Arjuna is asking this question. How are the mentality and words of the devotee affected by the affection and equanimity and anger of the other people? See, Krishna is saying here, answer to this question here. You all can repeat this verse. This is 2.56. Dukkeshvanu dvignamana Sukheshu vigatastha Vitaraga bhajakroda Itadhir muniruchyate. Here, he is saying here, one who is not disturbed in mind, even amidst the threefold miseries, are elated when there is happiness, and who is free from attachment, fear and anger, is called the sage of steady mind. So this is a little complex, but meaning is simple. You know the three things, attachment, fear and anger? Have you all heard about this kapha, vata and pitta, vidosha? So in one of the purports, Pranasita put all this interesting point. So he was telling that those people who are having a kapha body, you all know about it? Who has a kapha body, pitta body, vata body? Some people who know little Ayurveda, you will be knowing this. So people who have a kapha body, generally they have chubby cheeks and they are very hale and healthy. And their nature is to be jolly, to be very jolly and jovial and very friendly. These are the people who are kapha people. But the problem they have is they have attachment. They become very attached. And there is pitta people. These people, they become angry at the slightest thing. Like they become angry, explosive. They explode at the slightest problem. The small provocation they will explode. So that is the pitta dosha people. But of course pitta people are very sharp and intellectual and very intelligent. They can discriminate, they can analyze, they can evaluate, they can do many things. But they will explode. And vata dosha people, what is their problem? They are worried and they are generally very thin and they have difficulty in sleeping in the night. They will be rolling in the bed. Vata, when vata overtakes in your body, you will have joint pain. You will see that there is pain in the joints, hands and legs and everything. Especially they cannot tolerate the cold. And they are also very insecure and fearful. Like this. Same three things Krishna is saying here. Attachment, fear and anger. Attachment is for which people? Kapha people. And fear is for? Vata people. And anger? So these are the three qualities and three modes. Sataguna, Rajaguna, Tamaguna. You will see that. Sukham Badnati. He says, you know that word? He says, Sattvam Sukham Badnati. What he says is, amongst all the three gunas, Sattvaguna leads to attachment because of a sense of happiness, he says. So kapha people are supposed to be in the mode of goodness. And the pitta people are supposed to be in mode of passion. And the vata people are supposed to be in mode of ignorance, yeah. So attachment, anger and fear, these three things. So when we are in three gunas, we are subjected to these three qualities of attachment, fear and anger. But here Krishna says, the Siddhapragna is one who is free from these three things. He should be free from, that means you have to be free from three modes, above these three. Now you may say, oh, what if I have a body of pitta or kapha or what? How can I be free from this? Of course, your body is kapha, vata, pitta, but you are different. You have transcended the bodily consciousness. That means you are acting on the platform of pure spirit soul. Yeah. Yes. So we have to transcend it. One who is not disturbed in mind, even amidst the threefold misery, are elated when there is happiness. So that means when the problems come, one should not become disturbed. One should learn to tolerate them. You know, in the second chapter there is a verse, when you tolerate the sufferings, what is the result of that? You know the famous verse, yam hi na vyatayantyete purusham purusharshava samadukka sukham dhiram somatattva kalpate. The result is amritattva. You will attain immortality, spiritual world, when you tolerate them. That is, so we couldn't discuss the next quality today, the tolerance. So the result of being equipoised in sukha and dukha is that one can attain the spiritual world. But one step before that tolerance, which we didn't say, is that a person when he is equipoised in happiness and distress, such a person will never give up the duty. It is most important. In that verse he says, you all can repeat that verse. Matra parshat kaunteya,
matra parshat kaunteya,
shitoshna sukadukkada,
shitoshna sukadukkada,
agama payino anitya,
agama payino anitya,
samstitikshasva bharata,
samstitikshasva bharata.
This verse is very important for devotees, because if a devotee knows sukha and dukkha, how is it like? Agama apayino anitya. The happiness and distress, they come and they go away and they are temporary. Then a devotee goes on with the duty. When happiness comes, it's not that a devotee leans back in an easy chair and relaxes. Okay, now I have become too advanced enough. Let me wait for some time. No. There is no stage in Krishna consciousness when you are too advanced. In fact, if you are too advanced, you will have desperation to meet Krishna. Then you will really be performing Krishna consciousness. Similarly, when the dukkha also comes, still a devotee doesn't give up serving Krishna. Prabhupada gives us the example of a housewife. Nowadays it's summer season, kitchen is very hot. But a woman at home, she never gives up cooking. She continues to do her duty. Is it not true? So, that is all right. So you may find out how to exist in that situation, isn't it? How can we continue in that situation of difficulty? So the fan is the association of devotees. In the company of devotees, you can tolerate the sufferings and go on with Krishna consciousness. So the whole point of conclusion is this. For a devotee, the meaning of samadukka sukham dhiram means not giving up Krishna consciousness in any situation. Prabhupada repeatedly said, never leave this con at any cost. Prabhupada warned always. If there was one person in Honolulu temple, I think, when Prabhupada went, so devotees came and told Prabhupada that this devotee wants to meet you, Prabhupada. So he was outside. The devotee showed him. And then one of the presidents or somebody told Prabhupada, Prabhupada, that devotee is not living in the temple nowadays. He has left us. Anyway, that devotee came in, Prabhupada asked him, so are you happy? And he said, no, I am not happy. That's why I come to you, Prabhupada. He said, Prabhupada said, where are you living? Then he said, I am living in the railway platform. He said, and he said, Prabhupada, there I cannot live peacefully. So many people trouble. So much trouble people gave me there. Somehow I am tolerating and trying to survive there, but I am not all happy. I am feeling too much frustration. And Prabhupada asked, why did you leave the company of devotees and go there? He said, no, Prabhupada, I cannot tolerate devotees. He said. And then Prabhupada said, just see, this is the situation. See, if you don't learn to tolerate devotees, then you have to tolerate Maya. You know, material life and spiritual life, if you compare, spiritual life is difficult, but material life is impossible. Prabhupada said, material life is like cruel. It's like the difference between, the guru telling you to do the right thing, my dear child, don't do this, do this. The nice guru teaches you. And if you don't obey, then Maya gives you slap. Maya slap is too harsh, just like the policeman's beating. Either we obey the state laws or we be ready to be beaten up by the police. In the same way, Prabhupada is telling, see, now your condition is like a street dog. You are suffering outside, away from the company of devotees. If you live with devotees, you would have been happier. That means the tolerance comes into play here, comes into picture. Tolerance is most important. So a devotee should never give up the duty. In conclusion, I would like to say maybe 5 minutes about this duty, which is very important for all of us. Sometimes in our devotional life we may not feel enthusiasm. We all will be put someday or other in a situation where you don't feel so much enthusiasm. Like you get up in the morning, you feel very, very drowsy. And you feel like chanting becomes very difficult. One money to move, It's so difficult. You wonder, will I complete 16 rounds today? Sometimes it appears too much difficult. And you don't feel like singing. You don't feel like doing your Krishna conscious duties. Sometimes, so this is lack of enthusiasm sometimes. You are dragging along. There is a cassette available, you can hear a lecture. There is a CD available, you can hear a song. There is a VCD available, you can see some nice drama. But the mind says, no, I just don't want them. Basically, what does the mind want? Mind is frustrated because we want sense gratification. See, the problem with sense gratification is that if you take a little bit of sense gratification, it's like a small hole in a boat. Everything begins in a small way and then it becomes very big. Sometimes we feel frustrated and lack of enthusiasm because our mind thinks of the old things. What about them, Everyone is enjoying and so one may tend to think like that and one may lack enthusiasm in Krishna consciousness. So here is the challenge for you. Whether in such a situation you will drag yourself to go to some advanced devotee, more advanced than you, and open your heart to them. Prabhu or Mataji, I don't feel enthusiasm. I feel very dry in Krishna consciousness. Please help me. And then if they are advanced, they can help you. They can give you, they can surcharge your heart with Krishna conscious vibration. And you will see that there are people who can do that for you. So, when we lack into, what is our duty at that time? Guhyama kyati prachati. One should approach another very enthusiastic devotee and wait for enthusiasm in such a situation. Don't think this cannot happen to you, you are very strong. We have to remember always that we are living in the material world. Every one of us will be put to test. Even strongest of devotees, they can be put to this test. And it is actually a test for us to pass. So when we lack enthusiasm, we should approach the superior devotees and borrow from them their enthusiasm. Then we can become strong and go on with our duty. Then once you get the enthusiasm, again you can go on. And you may wonder, how was I so unenthusiastic? Now I feel so much joy, isn't it? Another time you find you are so happy, you don't know whom to tell about the happiness. Oh, I'm so happy. How many of you have felt that? Well, very few. Come on. I'm still trying. In Krishna consciousness, everyone has experience. If you feel so happy, then you go and tell this Prabhuji, tell that Prabhuji, this Mataji, that everyone, you go and tell the same thing to 100 people. Sometimes. Like somebody came to your house, you served a Vaishnava, or some devotee gave you some gifts, or you did some service and somehow Maharaj came to know that service. And then Maharaj came to know your name also by that. You can ask, Prabhuji, what can I say? You feel so much joy. You feel like jumping. If you got wings, you'll fly in the sky. You feel like that. So, you feel happiness. I'm ready for this other side. Feel very enthusiastic someday. But remember that may not last always. We should be ready for the other side also. So this is one time we should perform our duty. There is another time when sometimes dangerous doubts may come in our mind. You know why doubts come in our mind? What is the reason? Sometimes when we are performing Krishna conscious activities, why suddenly some doubts come? The doubts may be philosophical doubts. The doubts may be in the practices that we are doing, or in the culture of Krishna consciousness, or in the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, and some doubts may creep into mind. And you may start looking devotees with a skeptical eye, although you are also one of the devotees. You may think about the process, about the philosophy, or about some aspect of the philosophy, you may not be very convinced. And generally we don't express those doubts to others. Why? Why we don't express? They may think that I am so senior and what will others think, I am not so advanced. People may come to know I am not advanced. So one may fear that, isn't it? Because one may not expose. So if one continues to keep the doubts, what will happen? the doubt in your mind will grow like the big demon Madhu, huh? Isn't it? You know that Madhu demon, big demon. That's why Lord is called as Madhusudan. So one should approach the Madhusudan Lord and destroy the doubt of the demon of doubt. So sometimes we become slack in our duty owing to doubts. So again one should approach a Vaishnava and get the doubts clarified. And again one should go on with the duty. Sometimes certain incidents may happen in either our life or somebody else's life that is beyond our ability to comprehend. Isn't it? Sometimes things happen like that. Like some devotee dies out of cancer. Like Tribhuvannath Prabhu, such a sweet devotee in London. He was so much loved by so many devotees in London. So he had a terminal cancer and he left the body. And he was so detached. Like you see this Bhakti Tirtha Swami, for example, the doctors have predicted that materially speaking, he cannot survive beyond a few months. But just look at his spirit. I read his latest letter. He says that, just as Prabhupada spent his last days preaching, I also don't want to, unnecessarily be all the time worrying about this body and lamenting. So let me be engaged in preaching. Every day he is having 3, 3, 4, 4 programs. He is preaching. And in his last days he is going to come to Mayapur or whatever. He said, I may not come to Mayapur, I will spend my days like that. This Sridhara Swami, what he said when he came to, even before coming to Mayapur, once he was telling another God brother. He said, I am going to doctor and the last test that the doctor is going to take. And in case this test fails, so I will be having one of the places next to Tamal Krishna Goswami. Please keep a place reserved for me. I will come there and tell them that I am going to join them. Just imagine how cool he was. So he is called as a Jolly Swami, Sridhara Swami. So he was telling, actually he said that and it happened also. He came to Mayapur, left his body. Now he has got a place next to Tamal Krishna Maharaj. But devotees never worry that death is going to come one day, because they know very well that, I am different from the body, I have to leave this body. So sometimes some inconceivable things happen which our mind cannot comprehend. What should you do? Should you get stuck up in your spiritual life? What should you do? For example, you go, what happened to me, I'll tell you practically. Once, I was practicing Krishna consciousness in the early days, so about a few months, 3, 4 months, and somebody took me to the Juhu temple. So when I went to the temple, for the first time I went to the temple, and I saw there was a lift, which took me up. So the brahmachari told me, climb up the lift. I said, no. Why should we climb the lift? Why can't we walk on the staircase? Why do we need all this luxury? He was asking. He said, come on, what is this? Krishna's time is precious, come. Here is the lift, he said. We are Krishna's servants, we should not waste our time, that's why we have the lift. We had to go to the fourth floor, he said. Anyway, I got in. Went to the fourth floor, I found there were glass rooms. And there were so many computers and devotees sitting in the computers and, typing, many of the brahmacharis and all. That was a big shock for me. I couldn't believe that sadhus can be sitting in the computer. Like that. So that aroused a doubt in my heart when I came back. I started suspecting, are these people proper devotees? Sadhu means you should have vairagya. You should not, you should not wear a watch. You should not carry a mobile. You should not have a computer. You should not go in vehicles. Sadhus are supposed to be in jungle. And why are they living in Bombay city? And not only that, they are using all these things. They are using big, big vehicles and everything, I doubted. So fortunately, I opened this to another devotee, and the devotee helped me to understand the principle of Yukta Vairagya. He said, everything in this world belongs to Krishna. And everything should be utilized in Krishna's service. And computer also is Krishna's energy. We should use the computers to show pictures on Krishna. Like that. We should use a mobile to preach about Krishna to the whole world. We should use all facilities in Krishna's service. Then things became very clear in my heart after that. So whenever we have doubts, sometimes we may give up our duty. That time I was hesitating to chant. I was chanting something like 6 rounds or something. After seeing all these things, then I got down to 4 rounds. After that, I was slowly losing my conviction when I saw this. Because I had my own idea of what is Vairagya in those days. So in this way, because of the Sukha Dukkha, because of these various things which we discussed, what are the things we will go backwards now? Last one we discussed was inconceivable things, things which are beyond our comprehension, because of which we may give up our duty, then doubts may arise in our mind, philosophical doubts or in the process and all. So we may give up our duty because of that, then lack of enthusiasm in Krishna consciousness or lack of faith. So in this way, when all these things happen, a devotee should not give up Krishna consciousness. This is the meaning of this Matra Sparshatsu verse. That means all these storms may come in your life. These storms come in everyone's lives at different times. But a devotee should think, okay, let this storm come, it will stay for some time and go. But I will never give up my duty of chanting my prescribed number of rounds, following the four regulative principles and being with Vaishnavas. And gradually all these things will be cleared. You will see that. So that's why we need patience and tolerance and Krishna consciousness. This process is, Prabhupada says, the process is simple, but application is difficult, he says. So we are living in the material world, practicing spiritual life, a lot of challenges. So a devotee needs patience and tolerance. That's why this equipoise nature is required. Samadukkha sukham dhiram. Somrutatvaya kalpate. So we need the samatha, equanimity. We should not jump like a monkey when we get happiness. We should not go to psychotic depression when we get sorrow. Just like you see this India-Pakistan match, when India loses, you know, some people got psychotic depression. They got depression, they went to doctors, psychiatrists. Yeah. Some people became so morose, you know, they broke the buses and burned the buses. Like that. When India won the match, that time also they broke some 700 TVs. Either you win or lose, they break something. Crazy. This is a very practical example, demonstration of how in sukha dukkha people can be extremely disturbed. A devotee needs equipoise nature. Hare Krishna. I have exceeded my time.
Why doubt comes?
I asked the question, why doubts come in the mind of a devotee? Yeah, it's explained by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Why? Anybody would like to say, why doubts come in the mind of a devotee? Lack of faith is saying. Yeah, lack of faith leads to doubt. But how that doubt comes? Lack of faith comes. Trick of Maya. He's saying it's trick of Maya, he's saying. Past conditioning, okay. Yeah, it could be. Seed of devotion is very tender now. That's likely, But Bhaktivinoda Thakur says one strong reason, Offenses. Offenses, very good. Offenses, he says, and also he says, association with the non-devotee. When we are associating with non-devotees, sometimes the devotee's faith in Krishna and Krishna consciousness becomes shaken up. Because of misunderstanding, Especially we should avoid the association of non-devotees. That is why it is very much stressed. Now our creeper of devotional service is very tender now. Before it becomes stronger, one should always be associating with devotees. More and more and more, and nourish the creeper of devotion. Association with non-devotees. Actually, association with non-devotees leads you to commit offenses. And when you commit offenses, then the doubts arise in the heart. Along with the doubts also, material desires arise in your heart simultaneously. So the doubts on one hand and material desires on the other, they knock you down. They suppress you. That's why people fall down and all. So everything begins from the association with the non-devotee. So we should be extremely cautious. Mayavadis, atheists, dharmadvajis, all this pretenders. People are too much attached to worldly things. So we should avoid their company. Although it's very difficult. living in the material world. Hare Krishna, thank you very much.